We appreciate Sister Frances for that special, but that she was able to sing this morning. I'm glad that she's able to be back up here. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, and if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to read the whole chapter of Judges chapter 14, begin reading in verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get me for her, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Then after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day, that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have it? Is it not so? And Samson's wife went before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day, before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach what you've laid in my heart. I pray that your word and your message will find great lodging in all the hearts here today. And ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The The title of the sermon today is The Times of the Judges, Samson's Riddle. Samson's Riddle. Yes, there were a lot of things that happened that we're going to cover this morning, but the whole kind of the climax of the story is Samson's Riddle. Now, this is the first major event in Samson's life recorded in the Bible after his birth. He is now a grown man who is definitely responsible for his own actions. I want you to understand that. He is now able to marry, have children. He is able to make decisions for himself. But we will see how arrogance can corrupt a person in our story today. My first point this morning is Samson's desire. Verses 1 through 4, Samson's desire. In verse 1, Samson was of the tribe of Dan. He was a Danite. But when we are introduced to him as a man here in the story, he has traveled over to the neighboring tribe of Ephraim, to the city of Timnath, which is around Mount Ephraim. For those of you who like Bible geography and want to know where all that is. Now, while he was there, he saw a Philistine woman. Now, y'all excuse me if I say Philistine or Philistine. I've said Philistine all my life, and I've heard that Philistine is the right way to pronounce it, but I just might go back and forth to my roots, okay? But I hope you understand when I say that, what I'm saying. So he sees a woman of the Philistines there, and from our study of the last chapter, we discovered in Judges chapter 13 and verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So, we discover that from our last study, they were all over the place in Israel. But Dan and Ephraim, those two tribes, were not too far from the Philistine border either. So there were probably a whole lot more of those guys that they didn't like and caused them lots of trouble for 40 years. Actually, probably more than that, because it was now past that point of Samson being a grown man. And so they were probably all over the place in Dan and Ephraim. But while he was there at Timnath, he sees a woman, a Philistine woman there. In verse 2, Samson went back home and told his parents that he had met this Philistine woman and he wanted to marry her. Now, in those days, it was a common tradition and practice that the parents arranged the marriage for their children. It was very common for whenever a son would be born that parents would begin looking for a bride for their son. Oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, the young man would grow up knowing who he was going to marry. All right? Now, I know that we don't practice that today, but I believe that should happen again. You're like, yeah, right, your wife wouldn't allow that. You're probably right. She probably wouldn't. But the whole point of it is you take all the guesswork out. And I'll just be honest, in your teen years when all your hormones kick in, for those of you who are teenagers, you're still going through all that, bless your hearts. But for those of us who've been there, it's a rough time in your life, okay? It's a very rough time. And all your natural desires begin to kick in. Well, if you marry in your teen years, you're able to have an outlet for some of that. But then I know, who are they going to live with? Yep, there's that. Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, in these days, that's what happened. The parents would arrange the marriage, and the son, the daughter, didn't have a choice in the matter. And the groom's parents would pay a sum of money, or some kind of arrangement, typically it was money, with the bride's parents. They either paid in one lump sum, or they paid it out over the course of time. It depends how rich you were, but most people weren't very rich. They paid it out over the course of time. But now Samson comes back from Timnath to his parents there in Dan and says, "I've met this woman. I want to marry her." Here, Samson's parents had not arranged him a wife yet, and he wanted this woman. In fact, he seemed to demand that they do this, which would entail them purchasing her for him, which was also the custom. It's almost like, well, I'm not waiting for mom and daddy to do what they're supposed to do. I'm going to go out and I'm going to find myself a wife, and I found her, and you're going to go get her for a mom and daddy. Now, I realize that my son is not full grown yet, but I know how I am right now. I have the inkling that the way I am right now, I'm like, son, you don't tell me what to do. That's not going to happen. I mean, even sometimes in the age I am now, and where I'm with my daddy and mama, and we're trying to do something, I say, daddy, you need to do this. Son? Yes, daddy. You know? That's right. Yeah. So here he comes back, and, you know, as young men are so notorious for doing, of being so arrogant, we are, especially in the younger years. I'm a grown man. I can make good decisions on my own. Oh, yeah. Well, verse 3, Samson's parents weren't too happy about this at all. It was a practice in the Hebrew culture, at least for those who were faithful to God, and it seems to be that Samson's father and mother were, Manoah and his wife. It was a common practice to not marry outside of their people. In reference into the people who lived around the Israelites, God commanded his people in Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verses 3 and 4, God said this, "Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter, thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." We see where the Israelites disobeyed God in this and the conquest of Canaan by not getting rid of the heathen inhabitants. And they began to intermarry with them, which, as we see, caused them to turn away from God, just as he said that it would. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. The problem was not that they married outside of their race. The problem was that they married outside of their religion. You think about it. The Israelite people were the only people who believed in one true God. And of course, there's only one God. Everybody else in the world, if they believed in anything, believed in many gods. And none of that encountered the one and only God. So that was the problem. It wasn't the problem that it was a different race or a different culture or a different nationality. It was none of that. The problem was the spiritual root of their culture. And he says, if you go and marry somebody outside of that, you're going to follow and do what they do. And my anger will be hot against you. We see at one point in time he says that. He warned them not to do that, of course. Why are they experiencing all the mess they're in right now? Because they disobeyed him and did that. So Manoah and his wife are like, you know, Samson, really, do you really want to do this? We see their disapproval when they said, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" They wanted Samson to marry an Israelite. But what they really wanted Samson to marry was a believer, because of the reference there of the uncircumcision. That meant of someone who was not a believer. Their biggest problem was that she don't believe in God. None of her people do. You really want to go and marry someone? Why don't you marry someone here that's nearby, or a local girl, I guess you could say. Why don't you marry someone who does believe what we believe? Now, I want to put forth this question to you. What God-fearing parent doesn't want their child to marry someone who follows the Lord? All of you parents that have kids that have not married yet, that should be your desire, that they marry someone who fears the Lord and follows the Lord as well. That should be your desire. And young people, that's what you should be seeking too. Because we're going to see what happened to Samson when looks got involved. Okay? Samson was persistent and demanded his parents to go get her. The main reason he wanted her, according to what he told his parents, what'd he say? What'd he say to her? He said in verse 3, "Get her from me, for she pleaseth me well." You know what that means? She looked really good to him. I don't know what she looked like, but according to Samson, she was a knockout. Okay? That's all he could see, was how good she looked. Now, y'all, I know that you think I'm meddling, but I'm just preaching the Word of God here, okay? It is perfectly natural for men and women to be attracted to each other. God made us that way. You want to deny that? Well, you're lying to yourself. In fact, that should actually be a factor when getting married. I never forget this. When I was in marriage and finance class in seminary, you know, we're taught about the different aspects of marriage and counseling with people before they get married and after they get married and so on and so forth. The instructor at the time said, and you just have to know this guy, he had a personality that was night and day compared to mine, which meant he was more outspoken than me. I know that's hard to believe, but anyway. He said he had this young couple come in. They were going to get married, you know, just typical young couple that was just so oogly and googly in love, which is a good thing. And then he looks over at the man, he says, "Well, do you think she's pretty?" Now, what should have been the young man's response? Yes, is the correct answer. But what was his answer? He said, Oh, preacher, listen, looks has nothing to do with this relationship. She was there, and she's going, "Oh, yeah, that's right, preacher. Yeah, there's nothing physical in this relationship at all." And he's going, most of us are going to say, baloney. He said, I can't say it with a straight face. He said, "Man, I don't blame you." He says, "Man, I don't blame you." He said, "You'd have to put a stake around that girl's neck to make a dog play with her." Okay, and you know what that young man did? He got mad. Of course he got mad. I bet she did too. I don't know that part of the story. And he starts getting on the preacher. He says, wait a minute. I thought there was nothing physical about the relationship. So listen, that as a factor, that's a big factor, don't get me wrong, but I want you to understand that beauty and good looks are only skin deep. You don't believe me? Go look at their parents. You say, "Well, some of those parents look pretty good." Well, go look at the grandparents then, if they're still living. See, beauty fades. And sometimes, and this will happen so often, they married for looks, they married for other reasons that weren't godly, and they really see the true nature of the person behind the beauty. They're not so beautiful anymore. Or they're not so handsome anymore. They're mean, they're not God-fearing, they don't do what's right. Yep. Well, I'm going to move on. Verse 5. Samson's parents would do as Samson demanded. You know, sometimes parents do that. You know, you're old enough to make your own decisions, even though we're telling you that's not good. That happens a lot with young people and parents. Mamas and dads trying to tell their sons and daughters, you really don't need to do this. But their mind's made up. Oh, by the way, we were all there one day too, when we were that age. Well, your mind's made up. There's nothing I'm going to say to be able to change it. So, okay. But they didn't know. They didn't know this. Maybe Samson should have told them that, but he didn't tell them. Samson was using this as an opportunity to gain an advantage over the enemy. We discover at this time the Philistines ruled the land. They were all over the place. So the Lord would allow Samson to use his opportunity to deliver the Israelites out of oppression from the Philistines. My next point this morning, Samson's defilement. Samson's defilement, verses 5 through 9. In verse 5, Samson and his parents went to Timnath, and while they were there, Samson was met with a roaring lion. Now, I want y'all, first of all, notice where Samson was in Timnath. Let's read that, verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the where? Vineyards. The vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. He was in the vineyard. Why is that so significant? Because he shouldn't have been there. Why shouldn't Samson have been in the vineyards? Because as a Nazirite vow, you can't eat anything that comes from the vine at all. You can't eat the grapes. You can't drink the juice. You can't drink the wine. You can't eat the oil that comes from the seeds. You can't eat the raisins. You can't have anything involved with the grapes. And so he was a place where he would have been tempted to eat of those things that the Nazirite vow forbids. But now we see this young lion, roared and was ready to attack Samson. And by the way, from what study I've done, that when a lion, right before the lion attacks, he roars. Verse 6, Samson was able to kill this lion with his bare hands. Pretty tough dude. You know, if a lion's coming at me, I know I can't outrun it because I can barely run anyway. If I don't have a weapon on me, I'm going to find something to ward that thing off because I know in my strength I could not even hope to do what Samson did. But y'all, the reason he was able to do it with his bare hands is because the Lord's Spirit came mightily upon him, according to the Bible. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. Again, the word kid there doesn't mean a little child. It means a baby goat. He was able to basically rip it in half like a tender baby goat. Wow. Now, some of us went and saw Samson at Branson last year. That's pretty neat, but I was wanting to see that. I know. I guess it's the guy in me. I don't know. Some of the girls are like, that's so gross. Why do you want to see that, Brother Daniel? They even said that to me. I was like, and the Bible doesn't say exactly how he did it. But y'all, that strength. I mean, you think of the most tender animal in the world, even after they're dead, it's hard to pull them apart with your bare hands. You got to have a knife or something. Samson was able to do that with his bare hands. And this creature, even though it wasn't a mature lion, it was still a strong creature. But because of the Lord, that's how he was able to do it. But he didn't tell his mom and his daddy what happened. Maybe he didn't tell them because he shouldn't have been in the vineyard in the first place. But maybe he didn't tell them because he didn't want to alarm them from his great strength. We don't know. Verses 7 through 9, a little time goes by, and Samson did something that was forbidden. He defiled himself. After he spends a little more time with the Philistine woman and is greatly pleased with her, he takes her for his wife. When he came to get her to be his wife, he noticed that bees had now made a nest in the decaying carcass of the lion. Now you say, that's nasty. Yes. He said, well, I thought bees made hives in trees. I can testify personally that bees will make a hive anywhere. I never will forget in high school, they made hives on the, they would swarm up on the limbs of the trees at the school. They would make hives in trash cans. And when I got married, they made a hive in the bottom of my house. Brother Michael can attest to how to clean that nasty thing out. Got there in the insulation at the bottom. So they'll make a hive or nest anywhere. So he sees that carcass that's decayed, it's nasty, it smells bad. But these bees have made a hive in it. So he saw the honey from the bees' comb. He ate it, and you can eat the comb, by the way. And he brought it to his parents for them to eat. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating honey, and there was nothing wrong with eating the comb. In fact, that was actually something that was a little bit of a delicacy for them in their culture. But the problem here is that it was against the law, and that's God's law, and would be considered greatly unclean to eat anything from and out of a dead body or animal. Now, y'all, I like honey. I do. But I don't want to eat honey out of a dead animal. Ugh. Some people's like, well, I've eaten worse than that, and that don't bother me. The problem was God said, don't do that. Don't do that. And he was a Nazarite. He's not supposed to get near a dead body. So therefore, he defiled himself. He defiled his Nazarite vow. And what did he do in the process? He defiled his parents and made them defile God's law in the process. And they didn't know it. He didn't tell them where he got it. But his arrogance didn't seem to make him care about himself or his parents. Hence, he was also selfish. I'm going to do what I want. I ain't have to tell mom and daddy what I got this. They'll eat it just fine. They're going to be okay. Well, guess what? I don't know about Manoah, but from what we see of Manoah's wife, she said, no, not going to take it in. You shouldn't be eating it either. My next point this morning, Samson's defeat, verses 10 to 20. Samson's deceit. I didn't mean defeat. Samson's deceit. Verse 10, during this time, Samson made a feast. Now, we don't know exactly why he made a feast. It could have been because he just got married. All we know is that this was something that young men used to do in that country. That's what the Bible says. So used the young men the days to do. In verses 11 through 14, we see where 30 Philistines showed up for the party, and Samson's arrogance took over him. He told them that he would give them a riddle, and if they were not able to solve it in 7 days, they would give him 30 linen sheets and 30 changes of clothes. In those days, linen was very expensive and nice. It's that way today too, by the way. But it was a luxury to have, a very luxurious fabric to have, and also with changes of clothes and pretty much your entire wardrobe, that wasn't easy to come by in those days either. So, if they were able to not solve his riddle, Samson would receive a linen sheet and a change of clothes from each of them if he won. So the young men agreed to do this because Samson said if they solved the riddle before the end of the 7 days, he would pay them 30 linen sheets and 30 changes of clothes. They probably thought that with 30 of them, at least one of them could probably solve the riddle. Or getting all together, they could find the answer. Besides, they would love to see this Israelite grovel before them. After 3 days, they could not solve the riddle and became a little worried. Verses 15 through 17, during this time, the Philistines convinced Samson's wife to beg him to tell her the answer. They pretty much threatened her by saying they would kill her and her father by burning them and the whole household to death if she didn't find out the answer. So Samson's wife cried, she whined, and she pitched a fit because he wouldn't tell her the answer. She pretty much told him in a crying voice, "You don't love me. If you loved me, you would have told me the answer." And Samson was like, "I haven't even told my parents, so why in the world would I tell you?" Well, after her whining and crying for 7 days, just like a young, immature woman would do, Samson finally had enough and told her the answer, to which she told the Philistine men. In verse 18, on the end of the seventh day, the men told the answer to Samson. The answer was basically what he had seen with a dead lion's carcass. A mighty and strong animal had produced something sweet. Now, Samson replies back with a famous proverbial expression that apparently many would have known in their culture at the time. He said this, "If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle." I always laugh at that. "You had been messing with my heifer, you would have known it." The heifer referred to his wife. Some of you women are like, "You're going to call me a heifer." Oh, me. But plowing with this heifer. Now, understand this. Plowing with this heifer meant that they had used his wife in a bad way to get to him. And he knew it because she's the only person he told the answer. And he knew that they had somehow been with his wife, and he didn't know how. You left his wife out of it, you wouldn't have known it. Well, verse 19 and 20, as a result of his defeat from his deceit, Samson now had to pay up. Well, guess what? Samson did not have the money or the fabric to pay his end of the deal. Why? Because his arrogance was like, "Psh, I got them. I'm going to get all this from them." Now he's got to pay up. I can't quote it exactly, but doesn't a man sit down to look at the cost of something before he does it? A wise man does that. Y'all get that? A wise man does it. He doesn't sit down and count the cost or goes into some. Any major deal you make, always look at the cost. Don't blindly go out and get a car or truck without thinking, "Can I make the payments on this thing?" So on and so forth. Well, he had to pay up. However, the Lord used Samson's defeat for a greater purpose. The Spirit, we see here, gave him strength yet again. And he went down to one of the Pentapolis cities, namely Ashkelon, and killed 30 men and took their linen sheets and their garments and gave them to the men to whom he owed. Well, I can't do it, so I'm going to go down here and kill 30 guys who are our enemies, who are causing us trouble, and that's how I'll get to them. Brother Mike, I think you like the story. Well, guess what? That's not something that those guys thought that Samson was going to be able to do. But the Lord used Samson's bad decision for a greater purpose. But now Samson comes home. He's in a foul mood. And when he got back home, his wife was now with the best man from the wedding, to which we will pick back up with that part of the story next week. Some of you are like, "Oh, I want to know that part of the story." Well, just read your Bible and you'll find out the rest of the story. In conclusion, God wants to use every one of us. He really does. But let His Spirit and His Word guide us and not our own feelings. That was a lot of Samson's problem, is that he went on his feelings. He went on his own instincts and he went on his own what he thought. He should have thought and said, you know, God has chosen me for a specific purpose. And we see that from his birth that he did that. Always follow what God would have you to do and not what you would want to do or feel is right. God can use our bad decisions for a greater purpose if we will allow Him to help us when we realize we've done wrong. Now, y'all, I'm not telling you that it's okay to do wrong. That would be against God's Word. But there's lots of examples in the Bible where God's own people, God's own men that He's chosen, when they sin and do wrong and realize they've done wrong, God can still use their bad decisions for a greater purpose. Now, some people say, well, I'll do this and ask for forgiveness later. No, God doesn't want you to do that. Oh, and there's still consequences for your sins too, by the way. You know, there's a preacher, I won't name him today, but he's got a great testimony. But it's sad that it came to that in his life. He was involved with drugs at a very young age. It was so bad that he spent time in federal prison for it. And that being said, he hated his mom and dad and so on and so forth. And he just thought that, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I want regardless. And he went in and out of prison several times and went right back to doing what he was doing with the drugs and dealing the drugs and so on and so forth. And he said, but there was one time, the last time he was in prison, he said he was what we would call church in prison. There was a guy there preaching the gospel. He said, the only reason I was there was not to hear the word of God. Oh, by the way, he was raised in church. And he said, the only reason I was there is just to see my buddies. He said, I'm ignoring what this guy is saying. Something finally caught my attention. He said, I used to be where you're sitting. When I turned my life over to God, God made the difference and I didn't. He said, I had a realization at that moment that if God could change that man from where I was to where he was then, that he could do it for me too. And he gave his life to Christ there that day. In prison, got out, started doing right for the Lord, and then surrendered to preach. Now, y'all, he will testify that he still has scars in his body from all the things he did. And remembers, and he has nightmares constantly of all the things that happened to him. He has to suffer those consequences. But he praises God for getting him out of the mire and the muck and using for a greater good. Because God can do that, and he couldn't. Now, if you're in a bad spot today, acknowledge it and let God help you and get you out of it today. Don't let it get to the point where we get too prideful and too arrogant and selfish when we don't consider what God would have us to do. Oh, and by the way, that's just not a young person problem. That's an any age problem. Young, middle, old, doesn't matter. We all have to contend with our own selves more than anybody else. Always consider what God would have you to do based on His Word and His Holy Spirit. Because, y'all, I know life can hit you hard. It hits your heart a lot. And then it beats you up, chews you up, spits you out. You're like, I'm tired of this. You turn things your way. Well, that doesn't always go so well. Most time it doesn't at all. But if you consider God and His Word and His will and allow Him to help you with that, I promise you things will turn a whole lot better. It may not be what you want. If you have peace from God with what He wants, it'll be a whole lot better for you. I hope and pray today that you'll let God have His way with you. You'll follow His Word no matter what. You got problems? Talk to the Lord about them. Oh, and let Him take care of it too while you're at it. You got questions? Go to God. Go to His Word. You know, I've been very guilty. Very, very guilty of oftentimes where I'm like, what do I need to do? I'll get different people's opinions, and that's exactly what they are. But then, when I go to God's Word, the answer just becomes so clear. And I ask, Lord, please forgive me for not looking to You in the first place. Child of God today, look to the Lord and follow Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come